Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation where we are facing a great question. Did it have to end this way? Was it inevitable? Was there no real choice for President Biden, as he says? In his George Stephanopoulos interview, the President of the United States says, look, I had only one choice, either to get out the way we did, basically in the middle of the night as we abandoned Bagram Air Base and more, or to send in literally thousands and thousands of more troops. I don't know what the answer to that will be from Christopher D. Kalenda, but whatever it is, it's going to be very relevant and important and informed. Mr. Kalenda is the founder of the Strategic Leaders Academy. He's also a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army who served with great distinction in Afghanistan. He graduated from West Point. He commanded an 800-soldier task force in Kunar and Nuristan provinces, where he pioneered an innovative approach to counterinsurgency. And as part of his ongoing efforts to serve his country in this war, he's the only high-level individual to both have fought the Taliban on the battlefield and to have negotiated with them in terms of trying to bring an honorable conclusion and a victorious conclusion to this war. He has a new book coming up called Zero Sum Victory, What We're Getting Wrong About War. Mr. Kalenda, thank you for your service. And it is an honor to speak with you, and please, you can come on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's my great pleasure and honor. First of all, let me just start off with what President Biden has said now repeatedly since the fall of Kabul and the chaos and what so many people are looking at as a catastrophe. He's saying we had no choice. The only choice was either something just like this, or it was to pump tens of thousands of fresh troops into an impossible war. Do you think that is accurate, what the president is saying?
Well, I think it's important to bear in mind that there are three reasons why we're where we are today. The first one is that the Afghan people voted with their feet, and they voted with their feet to reject a government that was corrupt and predatory, where commanders were selling soldiers food and ammunition and weapons, fuel on the black market, and ultimately the soldiers said, hey, if you were going to hang me out to dry like this, then I'm not going to fight any longer for you. And so you saw this sort of security force collapse like a house of cards, sadly. Second is in the time between when the Afghan or the U.S. government and the Taliban made this agreement in February 2020, you had 17 months. So 17 months from when everybody knew that the U.S. was going to pull out, you know, leave all its ground troops. And the Taliban, as hard as it is to say this, the Taliban used that time wisely and strategically to negotiate all of these capitulations and all of these surrenders among the different Afghan, military commanders and provincial, you know, political leaders, et cetera. And the Afghan government simply buried its head in the sand and never thought we would actually leave, and so didn't prepare its defensive positions, didn't prepare its soldiers, didn't supply them, et cetera. And then third is the United States. We built an Afghan military that was way too dependent on us. We didn't develop one that was the best version of itself, one that could soar to new heights after we left. We created Mini-Me Force, and that Mini-Me Force, as soon as it looked like the dependency was going away, again, collapsed like a house of cards. So I don't know that any more time on the clock was going to change any of these sort of things. And in fact, you might have had an even bigger disaster than what we're seeing now had we elected to keep troops there indefinitely.
Well, if you're not keeping them there indefinitely, but you're keeping them there for a while longer so you can set up preparations for departure, I think what is so shocking to so many Americans is just the accounts that indicate that our commanders there, and you were there, you were on the ground, but seemed to be unprepared for an eventuality that the Afghans and the Taliban knew was coming. Wouldn't it have been wiser to have prepared? For instance, why is it necessary to surrender Bagram Air Force Base? Why did that happen?
Well, I'm not in a position to answer that. I'm just an old, dusty, retired colonel who watches this and writes about it and tries to learn why we keep making these same unforced errors. We did it in Vietnam. We're doing it in Afghanistan. We did it in Iraq. I mean, look, we had 17 months from the time the Trump administration signed the agreement with the Taliban. There were 17 months to do something to set the conditions for getting these, our interpreters. I mean, my interpreters, I've been on Facebook all afternoon with going back and forth with interpreters who are trying to get out. They stood by us. They saved my life. They saved the lives of my soldiers. They saved countless Afghan lives. And for the SIV process to be and special immigrant visa, to be as bureaucratic as it is outrageous. And so now what we've got is everybody trying to funnel into a single point. The State Department finally, and it's still not unbureaucratized, but you've got everybody trying to funnel into a single point, and so you've got this unfolding disaster on our hands that is not doing right by the people who did right by us.
Do you believe that it would have been far better for the United States? Let's assume we went in, we toppled the Taliban, as we did in relatively short order. If we had left 1 or 2 or 3 years after that, rather than extending our mission and expanding our mission into nation building?
Well, in hindsight, that's certainly the case. And it's one of these unforced errors I talk about in this new book, where we have a hard time taking yes for an answer from our adversaries. I mean, the Taliban in 2001 offered to surrender. And you can look up the New York Times article, December 7th of 2001, press conference between then-Secretary Rumsfeld and Hamid Karzai. And Karzai and his friends, his team, had been negotiating the surrender deal. And when somebody asked Rumsfeld about it, he said, "Hey, no way. These are evil people. They need to be hunted down and captured, put out of business." The 2 years later, 2003, the Taliban reportedly again offered to, "Hey, we just will support the government. We just want to go home and live in peace." And again, we and the Afghan government said no. In the negotiations I was involved in 2010 through 13, the Taliban's demands for meeting with the Afghan government were really modest. And we just couldn't get our act together. And then in 2020, we're left with this situation where we're trading a full troop withdrawal for Taliban promises of no terror safe havens that are going to attack us or our allies. So it's this overreach, it's this desire for this zero-sum victory that is killing us in these conflicts.
Colonel Kalenda, I hope we can continue this conversation. It's enormously important. The guest is Christopher D. Kalenda, who is founder of the Strategic Leaders Academy. His new book is coming out. We will be right back. He's called Capitalism the Greatest Thing Humanity Ever Accomplished, and he warns that socialism is trickle-up poverty. He's internationally acclaimed Whole Foods CEO and free market champion, John Mackey, the keynote speaker at this year's Washington Policy Center annual dinner in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency. Yup, in person in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency on October 1st. Tickets and information, WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
On the Michael Medved Show, Senator Ben Sasse, the conservative Republican from Nebraska, has been making a number of very hard-hitting statements urging the Biden administration to change course. And some of those statements he's issued to the public, some he actually revealed in a conversation on this show earlier today. The response was so positive to that conversation, I want to replay it. And to replay his answer to my question, which was, what is it President Biden should focus on? What should he do differently right now in terms of the policy in Afghanistan? His answer?
The most important thing, Michael, is that we would make clear to the Taliban and to our troops and to the world that there is no countdown clock on American lives. This politically driven campaign-style messaging about August 31, as if the Taliban drives how long the United States military is there to evacuate our people and our allies, is absurd. And it needs to be 100% crystal clear that we are going to get our people out. And then point 1B, which flows directly from that, is we need to empower our military to push back the perimeter around Karzai International Airport so that the Taliban thugs don't control the pathways to the airport and can't move freely among the mass of humans that are at the wall and the wire of the airport. They're there because we've made them security promises, and we need to keep our word. And that starts with the commander-in-chief being unambiguous about the position of the United States government and the United States military vis-a-vis our people, our close allies that are trying to get into that airport, and vis-a-vis the Taliban.
And then at one point when we discharge those allies, what happens in Afghanistan? And what happens particularly if fighting is renewed between American forces and the Taliban? Would the war continue, or would we be back involved in what has been called the forever war and that people seem to be allergic to? What's likely to occur?
Well, let's first just start with this term. The bumper sticker takeover of American decision-making is a disgrace. And this term, forever war, has been nonsense from the beginning. And so we should do what should have been done long ago for the American people, which is slow down and explain what we're actually doing in Afghanistan. We obviously are not in a forever war in Seoul, South Korea. We're not in a forever war in Japan. We're not in a forever war in Germany. And we have much, much larger numbers of troops in all three of those places, 30, 35,000 and 50,000 across those three geographies. So first of all, the term forever war flows from a bumper sticker myth about what is happening in Afghanistan. It has always been a false choice to say that we have to have zero people in Afghanistan, no troops, no planning, no support of what had been the official government of Afghanistan for the last 19 years. We've got the false choice was you have to have zero or you need 100, 150,000 occupying ground forces. We haven't had 100,000 people in Afghanistan in more than a decade. So the truth of the matter is the Afghan National Security Forces were trained to fight with the support of American air power. And we should have never given away Bagram Air Force Base. This is one of the great military blunders in all of U.S. history. It makes no sense that we gave up Bagram Air Force Base. And cowardly, President Biden vacated that Air Force Base in the middle of the night where co-located forces, where U.S. and Afghani troops had been fighting side by side. The Afghans had no idea that we were bugging out of there in the middle of the night. And so what has happened is that the Biden administration has undermined the confidence of the Afghan security forces about what their own battle plans were because their plans included us in a certain limited way. And so what we need to do, what we needed to have done is continue to gather intelligence, continue to have spotters and special forces on the ground and provide air cover for the Afghan security forces who are the ones actually taking the casualties. We haven't lost an American serviceman or woman in Afghanistan in a year and a half. That's not true of almost any police department in America. And so the first thing is we need to understand what went wrong and how it happened. But for this moment, we need to be sure that we're pushing out the perimeter of the airport. You then raise, Michael, a really important question about what happens if there's a skirmish between Taliban forces at one of these checkpoints and American military forces. This is what the American military planners claimed they had contingency plans for when they naively pulled out of Bagram. So there's a lot there in the intel space that I can't talk about in this context, but obviously I'm incredibly dissatisfied with the fact that we had been told, we, the Senate Intelligence Committee, and this is not just Republicans, it's Republicans and Democrats have been told since April that there were contingency plans that the military had for some eventuality where the Taliban mounted an offensive on Kabul. And obviously those plans were inadequate, but there are still many things we can do, but operational details that I can't discuss here.
Okay, many things that we can do. Is it possible Joe Biden can do them? Yesterday he was speaking with George Stephanopoulos, and he couldn't see how the situation possibly could have been handled better. Do you have any hope? I mean, I know you're a believer, but with God's help, that Joe Biden finds his way to the kind of leadership that we need right now?
Obviously, the president and his team need to back up, and they need to stop viewing this as a PR crisis that they can just outlast a couple of news cycles about. That's obviously what was happening when the president yesterday answered a very real question about how should Americans understand these Afghan allies of ours. Again, these are not random people. The people who were at that airport are people that risked their lives as drivers and interpreters and co-belligerents with us against the common enemy of the Taliban. When people try to stick to the sides of planes or climb onto landing gear or get up in the landing gear well as a suicidal but a sort of probabilistically improbable attempt to get out of a country where they know they're likely to be beheaded. And Stephanopoulos asked the president, how should Americans respond to this? And the president says he's indignant because that was 4 or 5 days ago. That is an asinine comment. The images are going to last for 100 years, but the American people are not talking about this as yesterday's, today's, or tomorrow's news cycle. They want to know that the commander-in-chief has a plan. And so the first thing that needs to happen is Prime Minister Ron Klain's shell of protection around President Biden, putting him off in a hiding place at Camp David for days, and now he's repeatedly been unwilling to take any questions from the press when he gets up and tries to change the subject. That team needs to pause and admit to the president that they screwed up, that their plans weren't there, and they need to stop viewing it as a PR crisis, and they need to empower the military to do what the military can do. Right now,
Senator Sass, if I may say so, I think there are millions of people in this country who are grateful for your leadership and clarity on this issue. We've posted your longer statement that this is not Saigon. It's worse than Saigon. And your new statement, Sass to Biden, go and get them. People can check it out at michaelmedved.com. Godspeed to Senator Ben Sass of Nebraska. We'll be right back. 1-800-955-1776.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. the suspect who parked a suspicious vehicle in front of the Library of Congress claiming to have a bomb has been taken into custody without incident. The suspect is Floyd Roy Roseberry of Grover, North Carolina. Tom Manger is chief of the Capitol Hill Police Department, and he has some background on the suspect.
The little bit of criminal history that we were able to determine was in the state of North Carolina, and it was nothing that serious.
Authorities say there is no reason to believe the suspect was not working alone. The Biden administration has no plans to extend the enhanced unemployment benefit of $300. Congress approved the money to help the unemployed get through the economic downturn caused by the pandemic. It expires the first week of September. And this is USA Radio News.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
On the Michael Medved show, because Joe Biden and his managers and his aides, led by Ron Klain, who was referred to as Prime Minister Ron Klain by Senator Sass, they have made him so scarce and so unavailable generally for questions about this disastrous episode in his administration that I want to go back to the George Stephanopoulos interview, because that's certainly the best chance we've had since the fall of Kabul and the unfolding disaster in Afghanistan to actually gauge the president's thinking or even his intentions. And one of the questions he was asked, which is a strong question and a perfectly legitimate question from the ABC newsman, Stephanopoulos. He asked, look, if it is inevitable that we're going to get out and that there's no good time to leave Afghanistan, why not at least get everyone who's endangered out of the country first? Why not take care of that? And here is the question from George Stephanopoulos and the answer from the President of the United States. Listen.
There's no good time to leave.
But if there's no good time, if you know you're going to have to leave eventually, why not have everything in place to make sure Americans to get out, to make sure our Afghan allies get out, so we don't have these chaotic scenes in Kabul?
Number one, as you know, the intelligence community did not say back in June or July that, in fact, this was going to collapse like it did. number one.
They thought the Taliban would take over, but not this quickly.
But not this quickly, not even close. We had already issued several thousand passports to the SIVs, the people, the translators, when I came into office before we had negotiated getting out at the end of August. Secondly, we're in a position where what we did was we took precautions. That's why I authorized that there be 6,000 American troops to flow in to accommodate this exit, number one. And number two, provided all that aircraft in the Gulf to get people out. We pre-positioned all of that, anticipated that. Now, granted, it took 2 days to take control of the airport. We have control of the airport now.
Still a lot of pandemonium outside the airport.
Well, there is. But look, but no one's being killed right now. God forgive me if I'm wrong about that, but no one's being killed right now. People are, we got 1,000 somewhere, 1,200 out yesterday, a couple thousand a day, and it's increasing. We're going to get those people out.
I'm glad that President Biden is confident of that. There have been people who have been killed. There have been attacks at the airport. There have been beatings. And there, of course, were the people who died trying to cling onto airplanes into and falling from the sky. I mean, which is just hideous and is reminiscent of what happened to people in the Twin Towers who jumped out of buildings. It's extraordinary. And then George Stephanopoulos confronts President Biden with the idea that what he just told people about everything being in order and being appropriate. Well, people have seen images, video footage and photographs to the contrary. Listen, this is F.
But we've all seen the pictures. We've seen those hundreds of people packed into a C-17. We've seen Afghans falling.
That was 4 days ago, 5 days ago.
What did you think when you first saw those pictures?
What I thought was we have to gain control of this. We have to move this more quickly. We have to move in a way in which we can take control of that airport. And we did.
So you don't think this could have been handled, this exit could have been handled better in any way? No mistakes?
No, I don't think it could have been handled in a way that we're going to go back in hindsight and look, but the idea that somehow there's a way to have gotten out without chaos ensuing, I don't know how that happens.
And then the question about chaos, why not anticipate it, given the fact he says there's no way we could have gotten out without all of these horrible events, then why not prepare people for that eventuality? This is clip G.
So for you, that was always priced into the decision?
Yes. Now, exactly what happened, I was not priced in, but I knew that they're going to have an enormous. Look, one of the things we didn't know is what the Taliban would do in terms of trying to keep people from getting out. What they would do.
All troops are supposed to be out by August 31st. Even if Americans and our Afghan allies are still trying to get out, they're going to leave?
We're going to do everything in our power to get all Americans out and our allies out.
Does that mean troops will stay beyond August 31st if necessary?
It depends on where we are and whether we can ramp these numbers up to 5,000 to 7,000 a day coming out. If that's the case, they'll all be out.
And finally, there was this question about people and the schedule for their removal. Listen.
Because we've got like 10 to 15,000 Americans in the country right now, right? And are you committed to making sure that the troops stay until every American who wants to be out
yes.
is out?
Yes.
How about our Afghan allies? Does the commitment hold for them as well?
The commitment holds to get everyone out that, in fact, we can get out and everyone should come out. And that's the objective. That's what we're doing now. That's the path we're on. And I think we'll get there.
So Americans should understand that troops might have to be there beyond August 31st.
No, Americans should understand that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st.
But if we don't, the troops will stay.
If we don't, we'll determine at the time who's left. And if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
Okay, all of this is terribly confusing, and it does appear that the Biden administration is badly confused. And one of the things that will be necessary is going to be at least some kind of explanation to the American people of where we stand. Mike Pence wrote a piece that appeared in the Wall Street Journal where the headline is, Biden broke our Taliban deal. And I can't back everything that Vice President Pence is saying here. He says, by the time we left office, the Afghan government and the Taliban each controlled their respective territories. Neither was mounting major offenses. And the America had only 2,500 troops in the country, the smallest military presence since the war began in 2001. America's endless war was coming to a dignified end, says Mike Pence. And Bagram Air Force Base ensured we could conduct counterterrorism missions through the war's conclusion. Well, they see the conclusion of the war as May 1st, which is what they had promised. And then he says, but when Mr. Biden became president, he quickly announced that U.S. forces would remain in Afghanistan for an additional 4 months without a clear reason for doing so. There was no plan to transport the billions of dollars worth of American equipment recently captured by the Taliban, or evacuate the thousands of Americans now scrambling to escape Kabul, or to facilitate the regional resettlement of the thousands of Afghan refugees who will now be seeking asylum in the U.S., with little or no vetting. Rather, it seems that the president simply didn't want to appear to be abiding by the terms of a deal negotiated by his predecessors. Given the clear eagerness of President Biden to remove the United States from Afghanistan entirely, it seems to me basically trying to find the meanest and most unworthy motivation on the part of President Biden to handling us the way that he did. That he added 4 additional months to the Trump deal. And by the way, many Republicans and Democrats and foreign policy observers very critical of the Trump deal because it involved releasing Afghan prisoners and basically did not signify a dignified end to the war. By the way, nor will this, if everyone gets out by August 31st. We'll be right back with more on mistakes and hopes about Afghanistan coming up. Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are 4 key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
On the Michael Medved show, President Biden isn't the only leader here in North America who has experienced a certain amount of embarrassment in just the last couple of days. He, Justin Trudeau, it's the younger Trudeau, and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has called a snap election. It means that coming up, I believe it's the end of September, they're going to be voting. They do their elections quickly, and I think that's a lucky thing for Canadians. They have ridings where the party picks the candidate, basically, and the individual voter gets to pick which party he or she wants. Last time, the Liberal Party, which is Justin Trudeau, won the most votes, but just barely. And they did not win a majority. So right now they have a coalition government they've put together. I think Trudeau, who generally seems to have an uptick in popularity since they made some progress on the pandemic, called the snap election because he is well positioned to win against a conservative leader, Aaron O'Toole, who is not that well known and apparently not that well liked. We shall see. I think it's entirely possible that the Tories, the Conservatives, might make a stronger run than expected. And actually, they just had an election in Nova Scotia. I know nobody pays attention to elections in Nova Scotia. But guess what? Tories won. And they won big. So who knows? And certainly, it's not going to help Trudeau when on the campaign trail, as he's just begun his campaign, he wanted to describe the current state of his country's economy. And he got amazingly cute. Listen to the way he expressed himself.
It is exactly the example of the kinds of things you need to do to counter the she session and turn it into a she-covery. Fact is, the Conservatives don't talk about that in their lengthy platform.
Okay. The she session is going to be turned into a she covery. It took me a while to even figure out what he was trying to say. he's substituting the terms recession and recovery and giving it a feminine pronoun. I mean, look, liberals are obsessed with pronouns, but what is a she session? And what is a she covery? Is he talking about the welfare of women? I mean, the best comment about this came from Dr. Jordan Peterson, a best-selling author and leading conservative thinker. And he said very simply this. He said, this is simply not how serious adults discuss anything of import.
The she session and turn it into a she covery.
Yeah, it's madness. And good luck to Aaron O'Toole and the Tory party, the Conservatives in Canada. There is more breaking news, and we have just found out, according to the Wall Street Journal, about 24 State Department officials serving at the embassy in Kabul sent an internal memo to Secretary of State Antony Blinken and other top State Department officials last month, warning of the potential collapse of Kabul sooner after the August 31st troop withdrawal deadline, according to a U.S. official and a person familiar with the cable. The cable, sent via the State Department's confidential dissent channel, warned of rapid territorial gains by the Taliban and the subsequent collapse of Afghan security forces, and offered recommendations on ways to mitigate the crisis and speed up an evacuation. That apparently was not acted on. We'll be speaking to another military, much decorated military veteran, four-star general, regular guest on this show, because some of the clarity of some of the military thinkers we've had on the show, I'm thinking particularly of Colonel Kalenda today, but we're going to be speaking to General Barry McCaffrey, who I think is one of the most decorated of all general officers in the Army today. We'll be speaking with him tomorrow. We'll also be taking a look at what happened with the Taliban actually burning an amusement park. Why? They enjoyed the amusement park a day before they burnt it down. So why? What's the idea? We will get to that. It may fall under the category of Islamic Looney Tunes. We also have so much more about the challenges faced by the Biden administration. William Galston, who's a Democrat, moderate Democrat, talks about how the situation in Afghanistan is going to influence every domestic problem faced by President Biden as well, and we will be speaking about that. But there's an interesting film that is just now released widely and available on streaming and available also on DVD. And it's about a notorious figure who did propaganda for the enemy in World War II. No, not Tokyo Rose. This is about Axis Sally. It's called The Trial of Axis Sally and stars, among others, Al Pacino. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
After World War II, an American singer and actress who made propaganda broadcasts for the Nazis is accused of treason, so she turns to crusty defense attorney Al Pacino in American Traitor, The Trial of Axis Sally. New on DVD.
You are right now, at this very moment, the most hated person in America.
Based on a fascinating true story, the best part of American Traitor is the lead performance by Meadow Williams, a little-known but charismatic actress who makes the real Axis Sally look far more sympathetic than she actually deserved. Pacino's character, on the other hand, is poorly scripted and shamefully overacted. It's rated R for language and some brutal sex scenes, including rape. And the whole movie suffers from an intrusive, incompetent musical score. 2 stars for American Traitor, the Trial of Axis Sally. It's not a good film, but the material is deeply intriguing. And on the Michael Medved show, just to put things in perspective, I want to conclude with the proclamation, the declaration, the statement that was made by the former Vice President of the United States, who was defending the deal that President Trump made, and basically saying that that deal was undermined needlessly by Joe Biden. He concludes his piece by saying, "Weakness arouses evil, and the magnitude of evil now rising in Afghanistan speaks volumes about the weakness of President Biden. To limit the carnage, the president has ordered more troops to Afghanistan, tripling our military presence amid a supposed withdrawal. After 20 years, more than 2,400 American deaths and 20,000 Americans wounded, and over $2 trillion spent, the American people are ready to bring our troops home. But the manner in which Mr. Biden has executed this withdrawal is a disgrace, unworthy of the courageous American servicemen and women whose blood still stains the soil of Afghanistan." And for people who actually wonder about this and what happens next, I think one of the things to begin wondering about is how will history remember it? And do I believe that history will remember the decision to go to war in Afghanistan in the first place as the right decision? Yes, it was the right decision. We had just been struck by a terrorist attack which was meant to be part of a declared war against Americans. We had to respond. We had to go after al-Qaeda and pursue Osama bin Laden. But the idea of trying to shift to weaving together all the complicated tribal allegiances and different political points of view and to make Afghanistan a functioning, prosperous democracy was unfortunately, as they say in warfare, a bridge too far, and not a bridge that America came close to reaching. The impact of this disaster on our future in Iraq and around the world, that is increasingly going to be an item of discussion, and appropriately so, in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
When it comes to the tools in your garage, it's all about lithium ion. Plenty of power, maximum efficiency, and a longer life. Introducing Novalift lithium ion powered forklifts. All the power and efficiency you need, and essentially maintenance free. With a dramatic savings in overall cost of ownership, Novalift forklifts pay for themselves over time, and that increases your bottom line. Novalift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Contact us today for a cost analysis at novaliftna.com/save.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.